Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Everybody to another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, and we decided, what the hell, let's just sit and talk wrestling. We haven't done it for a while, and so, Joe, what do you want to start with?
Why do I got to pick?
I mean, we could go anywhere.
Well, I mean, we really can. This is a open-ended show. We didn't really have too much. We didn't put too much thought into it, so... Yep. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot that's happened the past week that is interesting, and I always like a controversial topic to start with, and I always like playing sides of, like, okay, they did this, but what would happen if the other company did this? What would you say about it? So okay. I'll start with the whole how everyone was fucking on top of WWE about when COVID started, and they had the extras or the NXT talent that was there around ringside, and they didn't have masks on, and how everything was so unsafe. And now things have happened and people have starting to wise up, and masks are being worn, and they're taking proper precautions and whatnot on both ends. And now you have your big star in AEW go out and do his other job, and that is with Fozzy, and put on a concert for 250 people in North Dakota, none of which wearing masks. No one's taking the proper precautions. So they say they're just taking their temperature at the door. But, I mean, honestly, I don't know what that does if you're not wearing a mask, if you're not showing any symptoms. But now you play the double standard. Now the AEW fan base that was shitting and taking their shots when they were there at WWE when they weren't being as safe. Now you have Jericho, who's going to work this week, who's going to – I know I think this is pre-taped, probably before his concert. But – or is it? Or is it live? Or are they live now?
That's a good question. I technically don't know. I don't know to notice. I have no idea, so I'm not really sure.
Either way, I mean, now you have Jericho now. Does he have to quarantine for 2 weeks? Do you ban him from your show, or do you turn a blind eye and just let him do what he's going to do and catch the ridicule for it? Because now you're putting your whole roster in danger.
True. But the one thing I say, they are live and say that it's not a recording and he does come out. If you're going to do it, Jericho's already a heel. And even though the people love him, he's still technically a heel in that company. Have you like, and you're going to say something to me? I'm going to put on a concert when I want to put on a concert, and just rub it in, because Jericho is going to be able to do that. He can do what he wants, and he can. Now I get it. It's unsafe with everyone and people dying from this, but if you're Jericho, fuck it. I'm going to get more heat.
Yeah. But how much are you really willing to risk the ridicule and the well-being of your roster for a kayfabing COVID? Like, that would be what they're doing. They're kayfabing.
That's on COVID. AEW. It's their job to decide whether they put him on. But I'm saying if he goes on, and you're going to have him on anyway, don't shy away from it. Use it if you're going to use it for fire.
Yeah, but why? Well, my thing is not if he's on to use it. I don't think he should be on. I don't think he should be allowed. I think this is your chance to make a stance and make the right decision and not have him show up. This should be kind of like a punishment. They probably gave him the okay to do it. It's probably in his concert that he's – or in his contract that he's able to do contract or
– Boy, you can't get those two right.
It's in his concert that he's in his contract. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. He probably had that in his contract that he can perform with Fozzy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that was pre-COVID. Now that he is, now that we're in this shit, he should have to follow the same rules that everyone else follows.
And I agree. I'm not debating whether he should or shouldn't. If they don't let him go on, then I think it's the right decision. But I mean, if he does go on, I would use it, because they give you the okay and it's like, all right, fine, go on. Then I would use it. But I agree. I don't think he should go on. But we'll see come tomorrow night.
I would love to, I would love to hear the vocal internet fan base. If Jericho performs and then God forbid you have 10 people that catch COVID from this and they have to shut down. Like what, like, cause that's the risk you run. If you have them out there, that, and what are you going to do? Not test anyone or not tell anyone? You're just going to do, you're going to play that. I mean, because someone's going to leak it. Same thing with WWE. Someone always leaks something, and they want to be that person that gets the scoop, or they get the payoff, or whatever the fuck they do, and the reasoning for leaking it. If it leaks and that's the reason, oh my, dude, that's almost like the network could give them the boot. Like, yeah, TNT could give them the boot for that.
Well, and knowing that, to hear rumblings of some new executive high up in Warner Media. So now they're the guy who really pushed to get AEW on TNT and was the one of the approvals left the company, and they have a new guy in the company. So now everyone's worried that, what does this mean for AEW? Is this WCW all over again? But
you better hope he's a wrestling fan or a Jaguars fan.
I mean,
I think you've got a better chance of him being a wrestling fan than a Jaguars fan.
Very true. I mean, as rare as it is to be a wrestling fan, it's even more rare to be a Jag fan.
They fucking suck.
Yeah. But I don't think AEW is going anywhere. Their revenue, they're generating money. They're beating the competition every week and in their demos that they want to beat them in. I don't think AEW is going anywhere. But
if I hear more fucking key demo.
Look, I'm just saying AEW is safe. I don't really care about them, but those executives do, which is why I said it.
Well, here's the thing. When the fuck did – I hate this era of wrestling and what we decide to focus on as a whole. We never – like, we didn't care about the ratings of the Monday Night Wars until we knew about the numbers, until it came out 10, 15, 20 years later, the Monday Night Wars, and we saw the ratings numbers. No one ever gave a fuck about the numbers. No one cared who else was watching.
No one
cared. As long as you were watching and you had a good time and you were enjoying what you were watching, because me and you, we were on different sides of the fence. We didn't know each other back then, but I was watching WCW and you were watching WWF at the time. Yep. And I didn't care. I didn't care who else was watching. And now we couldn't record the other one in the same fashion that we do. It's not like we had, like, fuck, TiVo wasn't even invented then.
No.
And that was like the new revolutionary fucking thing was TiVo.
Yeah.
And I'm dating myself, because that was probably probably at least maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, not more than that. About 99.
No, TiVo? I was in college when I first
TiVo was in 99, 2000 when it first came out.
Man, maybe I heard of it in 06. Either way, neither here nor there. But the whole thing of pushing key demo, and I know why they do it. I know why AEW does it, because they know that their fans are going to back them, and they know that the people that say the key demo, now you've just given ammunition. They're the – as much as the companies preach, oh, we want you to be civil, we want you to just enjoy the product, they are also the ones that are egging this on so badly.
From the jump
with the whole Cody breaking the throne with the sledgehammer. Yep. From the start, they just wanted their fans to enjoy wrestling. They wanted to give them an alternative. But they also are giving them – like, WWE doesn't do this. They don't even mention or even give an afterthought about AEW. It's AEW is like – the little brother. You have like the two siblings, the two older siblings that are always doing, and you have the little brother. It's always like pulling on their shirt. Cause they want to get noticed. Come on. What about me? What about me, guys? That's what AEW is doing. They're the little brother in the situation trying to get the attention. Right. And I hate that it works with their fan base, that they're so I mean, sorry to say, but they're brainwashed. You're brainwashed at this point because anything that AEW spits out, you're gonna cheerlead for them. When someone says key demo, we got the key demo. Oh, well, they got the key demo. That must be all that matters. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you've gotten to the point of where I don't want to say that they don't enjoy what they're watching, but they care more about making sure that someone else knows how much they're enjoying watching and why what they're enjoying is better than what you're trying to enjoy. Like, I know it's confusing to say, but hopefully people got it.
I understand what you're saying, though. I completely agree. It's exactly what they do. And, I mean, look, that honestly, that's kind of what live tweeting is. That's the reason people watch people that live tweet, because you want to hear
weird,
people's
though.
Reaction.
Oh, it's I weird, agree. Though. It's so fucking bizarre that, like, I have to be watching something. I have to tell you how much that I'm loving this and how great it is. But I also, at the same time, have to tell you why it's so much better than what you're watching. That's mm-hmm. so fucking weird. Like, it's great advertising, I guess, for them, but, like, self-promotion. But on the other end, like, if someone's telling me, like, why they love this, and they're telling me this is so much better than what you're watching, I'd be like, shut up, asshole. Now I'm not watching what you're watching. Like, it almost is and I'm part of that key demo. You're part of that key demo, quote unquote. Yeah. Like, when I hear stuff like that, and I think a lot of people our age are like that. Like, when you hear, like, well, what, like, someone younger is going to be like, well, I'm watching this, and this is so much better. Like, shut up, kid. I don't care. Like, that's the mentality. Like, shut up, kid. I don't care. Now, out of spite, I'm not going to watch that because I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk about it.
Well, I think another big problem, or not maybe problem, but, like, as far as annoying when it comes to the demo thing is Jericho becoming this demo god and keep talking about the demo. And, like, look, I was the one who just said to use COVID as fucking heat getter. So I completely understand trying to get heat with however you can get it as the heel. But it's just like, you don't care about it when you lose. When you lose, they're just the ratings. And they didn't reach the demo. We reached the demo, even though they beat us. So it don't matter that they beat us. But then when you win, it's, oh, we are the kings of the demo. Like, fuck you. You can't have it both ways. You can't do that. You can't say they're shit when you lose, but they're the greatest thing, and you got to believe them when we win. Like, it just – I don't get it. I can't go with it.
The problem is the trickle-down effect. I mean, the trickle-down effect is what gets me. It's just that whole, like, what they say, and now they have the minions out. I mean, it's just so – it's such a bizarre mentality to have, to just love something so unconditionally that you've brain – it's fucking cult mentality is what it is. It's a fucking cult mentality.
And not only that, WWE has them.
The leader is good. The leader is great.
WWE has them for sure. I mean, and I hate to kind of put it in a box, but, like, Roman Reigns fans, that they are the brainwashed version for WWE. He's the greatest thing ever. He's the best champion they ever had. He's the guy. No, he's not. He's good. Don't get me wrong. He's very good, but he's not the guy. They want him to be the guy, but no one else does.
The problem is with WWE is they don't – I don't know if it's the problem or – I don't really consider it a problem, so to speak, in my point. But they don't have that – they don't have the ability to brainwash right now. I feel like they're just putting on what they can. But I feel like there's people that have – there's like no – the brainwashing effect doesn't work. It's like they're a bad hypnotist.
All right, like, yeah. Maybe brainwashing from WWE is not – what it is in AEW, but I'm just saying they have their blind supporters as well that they'll argue tooth and nail with AEW.
They do, but it's almost, it's like AEW's got their fan base hypnotized and WWE can't keep them locked in enough to get them hypnotized. They're waving the clock in front of them, and it's working for like a minute, but people are just like, all right, what the fuck are they doing? Like, I feel like I'm actually very proud of this analogy that I'm putting together right now.
It's kind of like, it's not bad.
They'll hold your attention for a little bit, but then they'll lose you. They're bad hypnotists. AEW right now, for their fan base, they're very good hypnotists. They keep you in that trance, in that zone, and everything that they're telling you, you believe.
All right, but do you think some of that comes with the indie mentality? Because these guys were indies their whole career and then made it to their own company and everything, really successful. Do you think that loyalty comes with that? And it's just like, we want to see these guys, because they're indies, beat WWE. And maybe it's not just because it's AEW, it's just because they want to see someone from the indies really stick it to WWE, because WWE is known to hate the indies and not want to promote the guys from the indies.
I think if it were maybe five or six other people that were into indies, but nah, these guys weren't really considered indies when they started AEW. They were big household names. They were big in Japan. Cody was a former, I mean, just the bloodline alone. You're Dusty Rhodes' kid. So, I mean, I don't think that mentality followed them. I think the mentality of like, yeah, they had their own brand. They were the elite. They had their own YouTube channel with over 100,000 subscribers. Like, they built their brand. They were a brand. They were a smaller brand than WWE, but they had a very, very loyal fan base, and they picked up some stragglers along the way because of the people that they hired, who also had some, like Moxley, he has his fan base. You have Darby Allin, smaller fan base, but still has a cult following. And you have people like MJF, brought a lot of people in because of he caught a lot of traction in the indies, and he was known as the best heel out there, and they brought him in and he was able to show that. So they picked up more people along the way, but I don't think they had the indie mentality. I think they had these are big names, and it only made sense for them to not go to WWE and do their own thing, because they can do their own thing for themselves instead of in WWE.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that, but I think, When we went and saw Dynamite in Philly, the first thing we said was, man, it feels like the indies, just bigger. And I think, and a lot of their pay-per-views are very Fight TV-ish, indie-type pay-per-views. A lot of stuff goes on. Now, more recently, they've been more WWE-style. But when you started with All Out and Double or Nothing and all that, it was a lot of all over the place, a lot of fun, a lot of really cool matches, a lot of cool spots, but it was very all over the place. And I think that's where I was kind of talking about, whether, like you said, MJF, Darby Allin, Janela, I mean, the list goes on and on of all the indie darlings that were brought into AEW. So that's where I was getting at. Now, I agree. The Elite, yeah, that group of guys, with including Omega and Cody and all, that's completely different. But I think with that, like you said, as you pick up stragglers and you pick up fan bases with each of these big names, I think that kind of goes to it a little bit. But I know what you're saying with the Elite, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you go there live, that's a little different. It still feels like it. It does still feel like that indie feel, because it's not the same as WWE. I mean, it's great production value and they put on a hell of a show, but it's still not a lot of the names that you're really used to. And I know some people will say, well, yeah, well, we've been watching them for years, but yeah, you've been watching them at little shows, and now they're on a little bit bigger show. I mean, they're not at a you're not watching them on a show where they have 40, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people. You're there with 8,000 people, 10,000 people, and it feels like it's a bigger version of an independent show. Yes, you're right, but I don't think now, with them being on TV and all that, and I just think it's not the indie feel that it could be. It's a big brand. It's a brand feel. It's a big brand feel.
So, and on Dynamite this past week, one of the biggest things coming out was this spot with Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara and the chair spot. And I don't know. I think we talked a tiny bit about this last night when we did Unite, but
I'll talk about another double standard as well. Now that you mentioned Sammy Guevara,
yeah,
and how he was sent to sensitivity training and he paid his and he did his time and he did his punishment and whatnot. He's and Tony Khan said, "Oh, he really blossomed and he really showed like." And everyone was like quick to forgive because he came out and he apologized. Now, if it was someone in WWE, would they have had that same mentality or would they would have had, or would that mentality be, no, he shouldn't be allowed back. I mean, I feel like it's you pick and choose. And I know it's circumstances are different. Yes. He didn't actually physically do something, but he said something that was really, really stupid and offensive. And I feel like if it was someone else for a different company, I don't feel like people would have been as quick to be like, all right, well, maybe they shouldn't have come back.
All right, so I'll give you devil's advocate for that point. Randy Orton, I don't know if it was before COVID or it's all big blur this whole year, but he was on Twitch and
he dropped the
N-bomb. And nothing, I mean – it didn't reflect on TV. He wasn't taken off. His storyline continued. So I think, in WWE, you're going to have that type of, exception. And I think Randy Orton is that perfect example because he is Randy Orton. But now if you went down to a Guevara level, a newer guy in WWE doing that, now I think your point, maybe he wouldn't. You know what I mean? Maybe he wouldn't exist anymore. He'd be done. They'd just cut him.
I mean, I just feel like it's all part of that whole, like, okay, the fans are going to be behind you no matter what type mentality. So we'll say we did this. I mean, I like that they gave us pay to the Jacksonville woman's shelter, I believe it was.
Something to that effect.
For abused women or something. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like him coming back and being welcomed with open arms was just – I just felt like it felt weird. Like it felt dirty. Like he shouldn't be coming back with this big like surprise with open arms and everyone hugging him. Like I feel like, look, you're an idiot. Like you shouldn't be. You should have to work your way back up, not be put right back in top spot again, big time. Like I feel like you shouldn't be welcomed back with open arms. Like you fucked up.
Well, I mean, I think he should be.
That goes for anybody. That goes for Orton, too. I feel like Orton should have had to do the 30-day suspension and come back. And, I mean, it's Randy Orton. I get it. But you don't go back into a main event title picture. Like, I don't think anyone that fucks up doesn't come back and gets
pick right back up.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's hard, and it's probably like that. It's not like that in every other business where – okay, you messed up. Now we're going to cut your pay to $15 less an hour, and you're going to start from the bottom and work your way back up. So I get that. I mean, there's circumstances for everything, but it felt very not right.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I kind of felt the same way when he came back. But look, they're going to do that. That's their future. That's who they want to build.
It almost makes you feel like, okay, now they just want you to forget about everything that he did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they don't want fans thinking about that, of course.
Like, you come back, and now it's like, oh, it's like he never did it now. Right back where he was. It's like nothing ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels not right. But go ahead. Guevara and Matt Hardy, how he picked up the wrong – there was a dummy chair, and then he picked up the wrong chair and chucked it at his head and split him open.
Yes. Yeah, and people – there were some people that jumped on Matt Hardy, or not Matt Hardy, Sammy Guevara, I'm sorry.
The people that jumped on Matt Hardy were the medics, and they were trying to help
him. But like, and
you're not going to say anything bad about them.
No. And of course, Rebby fucking Hardy, who always has to open her mouth and talk shit on Sammy. Like, look, I don't like Sammy Guevara as a character. I think he's very athletic. I don't like him personally, but, I mean, look, the guy can make a mistake. Anybody can make a mistake. Professional wrestling, it happens all the time. people that hold this against him and like WWE guys who want to hate on AEW, like we were talking about, want to bring this up and how reckless it is and all. It's wrestling. It happens all the time. WWE does fuck up, so it's the same thing. But, I mean, for people to get on them, it's not fair, and it's a spot that could happen to anybody.
I don't know, though. We don't know that. I don't know
what
if it does
accidents
happen.
Accidents happen? I mean, look, what do you mean?
Yeah, accidents happen, but if you have someone who's an actual vet and they pick up this chair, I mean, we don't know what the chairs feel like. We don't know if one feels different from the other, but I feel like if it does and they do feel different and there is some distinction between the two, I feel like a vet picks it up and throws it to the side and is like, no, I don't fucking want that one. I want this one. Mm-hmm. And then throws it. Like, I feel like he rushed it. I feel like his inexperience might have got the best of him. Not to mention, how often was he ever put into that spot where he's throwing a chair at someone?
True.
So I think inexperience of putting him in that spot, I think, is the problem. And possibly putting two chairs that are similar right next to each other could be a different story altogether. But, I mean, if he is a vet and he is known and he has run through it a bunch of different times, maybe the vet picks it up and throws it and makes it look like this isn't the one he wanted. I want this one, and doesn't make it obvious that he picked up a dummy chair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you should hate him for it, but I think maybe not putting him in that spot or him having more experience would have probably benefited.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I wanted to touch on something completely out of the ordinary, but he is a headline or a tagline for one of our shows, and one of my favorite titles of all time is our Marty Jannetty on Ice title. And him being so completely out of it that he puts out there that he killed a guy once.
Yeah.
And now there's a full police investigation on this. Like, he's just so far. And this is one of the realities of wrestling from that era.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is that drugs and women just ran rampant. And this is the story of a guy that just could never stop. He just could never stop. And he's so burnt out and so delusional now that he's at the point, like, and here's the thing. Has anyone or has he, like, he needs help desperately. He needs help or he's, one, he's probably in jail now. Yeah, and two, he probably should be dead by now, which is fucked up to say.
But I mean, look, if you look at any of the documentaries that was with Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Sean Waltman, any of them, talking about the stories from back then, and all of them should be dead. Every last one of them. The whole clique should not exist with the exception of Hunter. I mean, that's with the amount of pills and alcohol and all they did. And Marty Jannetty was right there, you know what I mean, with Shawn Michaels in the beginning doing it. So, and he just kept going, just like Michaels and all them did. So, I mean, yeah, all of them should be dead. Half the WWF roster from 94 should probably be dead. But, I mean, it's just it's a shame because the talent that Jannetty had and what he was and never kind of recovered from losing the tag partner in Shawn Michaels, that he has just been, from that point, just keep
he's
going
a train wreck. He is the definition of a train wreck. I put him and maybe Sonny up there as the definition of wrestling train wrecks.
Yeah, that's another really good one.
And it's just like, has anyone ever reached out to get him help, or is he just so far gone that he doesn't want – Like, there's your dark side of the ring. If you can get a fucking story on Jannetty, and I'm sure there's millions of them, like, and from, because he's showed up at indie shows. He's been booked on indie shows and whatnot. Like, I'm sure there is, every person in wrestling probably has a Marty Jannetty story. Like, that should be either your final or your first next season for Dark Side of the Ring. Jesus, I would love to know what the fuck happened and how he got like that.
Absolutely.
What his mindset, what happened to him that where he was just like, fuck it, I don't care anymore.
You know what, though? It would be an amazing, amazing redemption story if somehow he could turn it in, like, I mean, I'm talking even like DDP yoga, you know what I mean? And something like that happens to where someone gets him with DDP, and DDP can turn him around like he did Jake and Scott Hall. It would be amazing. And then all of a sudden he returns and they put the Rockers in the WWE Hall of Fame, and him and Shawn Michaels. Like, that would be mind-blowing.
Has he done too much wrong to ever be put in that? Like, could just him,
I don't think getting... so. Like, well, the murder thing, that's a if little too much. That. That's a little too much wrong. But, I mean, like, if that hadn't come out and we didn't know any of that, I don't think if he all of a sudden said, I've hit rock bottom, I need help, I'm going to get help, and then started to make that turn like Jake and Scott did, that would be like the another one of those ultimate stories. And, you know, Vince loves nostalgia, so he would eat that up if they could bring that back and do the Rockers. Like, it would be huge.
I just feel like even taking the murder or the possible murder out of it, I still feel like he was just too bad for too long to, even though if he were to turn it around, I feel like it was too late. Like, I know a redemption story is great and all, but I feel like it still doesn't erase, like, everything in the past. Like, I feel like he's got the stories that would outweigh the Scott Halls and the Roberts. Mm-hmm. And they were at their lowest points a couple different times. I mean, shit, fucking Scott Hall was completely obliterated on camera in the end of his tenure at WCW. So, I mean... It's just such a fucking weird and bizarre story that I feel like needs to be told. Like, I feel like that would be a great 1 or 2 hour, because you can probably get 2 hours on fucking Jannetty alone.
Yeah.
And it would suck because all of the people with probably the best stories are under contract with WWE.
Oh, yeah. I mean... Sean being the main one, obviously.
Yeah, I think Michael would probably have the best stories.
Mm-hmm.
Or the worst stories, depending on how you want to look. Probably the worst stories.
Yeah.
I just feel that was I don't think it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a surprise that he came out and said, I killed a guy once.
No, I agree. I was, like, not surprised at all.
When you hear that, you're like, I'm not surprised. I mean, Or he said it was the first time. So there could be multiple. Like, and yet it's not surprising. And that's a shame that you're at that point of where, well, it's Marty Jannetty. I mean, anything could have fucking happened.
Like, the ultimate, like, punchline for tag team wrestling when they break up is, oh, he's the Marty Jannetty. Like, I mean...
That takes on the fucking completely different fucking
persona. Now it does. Now. Yeah.
Yeah. If you call someone the Marty Jannetty of the tag team, you've basically doomed them for possibly their life. Not just the wrestling life, but their life.
Yeah.
Like, those are fighting words now. You didn't just get fucking casted out. Now you're a fucking lowlife, impossible murderer.
So I do want to talk about the thing that Monday Night Raw called the most talked about thing last Monday, and that's this Raw Underground.
Yeah, you want to talk about Raw Underground? I completely forgot. Wait, how about we tie in Raw? We'll stay on Raw, and we'll stay on WWE. We'll talk about the two main things that they got going on right now, which is Raw Underground, the most talked about event of all time in WWE history, and then we'll talk about, what is it, Retribution?
Yes, Retribution.
Is that what their name is?
Or, well, as I saw someone dub them on Twitter, aces and 5/8.
Oh, my God.
God, I want to know who originated that. Genius.
The aces and 5/8.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's true. But, I mean, we'll stay with that for a second because
– okay.
It's – I don't know if it's different. It's something that's newer for them. It's something that we haven't seen in a while. I mean, it's a secret faction. I want to believe that the rumors are true on this, and that everyone that has appeared for Retribution isn't actually a member of Retribution. They're just stand-ins. And when we finally find out who they are, it's going to be someone completely different than who's under the masks right now. I want to believe that because the acting and the and what's going on is just so corny and so bad that you're almost like they might ruin it before they actually get to the punchline.
Yeah.
To the reveal or the climax, whatever. They might ruin it before they get to that point. Well, you know, it's a weird term, climax. To use.
Yeah. That one got me. I was like,
oh, he's going to take off the mask.
Did we mention that this show is not for kids, by the way? I mean, just.
I don't think they would have understood that.
Okay. Sure.
You want to start singing Baby Shark? We can make it for kids.
Let's go over like the rumored names that they were talking about. Is, yeah. I mean, Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, obviously two guys who they haven't really been using. They put them together a little bit ago, but those two especially. I'm hearing Chelsea Green being a part of it. Leaders that the names that they're talking about are Ciampa and Dijakovic. So all those names, they sound pretty good. Dijakovic, I think, is the one or – either one being leader kind of intrigues me a little bit, whether it's Ciampa or him.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with this and the rumored names. I want it to make sense. I don't want it to be people that – I don't want them to quote-unquote WWE it and just take a bunch of random people and put them together and force it. Yeah. I want it to make sense. I want this to actually – because the names that they've named, it doesn't make sense right now to why they would join. Why they would all join forces. It doesn't make any sense. So they need to make it before they do this reveal. They have to have it make sense. There has to be some reason that these people form together and now they're a force to be reckoned with and an outlaw faction. It has to make sense. Right now it's just fucking what I'm expecting is the oddities. I'd rather have it be like the Aces and Eights. Except not with as many people. Like, yeah. I wanted to, it's just, they're just booking has just been so boring in points. And then a lot of their booking just doesn't make sense. I want this to actually be something that they had a plan for and not something that they just threw together to be like, oh, here we go. Let's try this.
Yeah, just throwing something up against the wall and hope it sticks, basically.
Yes, and I think that's a good way to segue into the Raw Underground Society. And you know what's funny is that I looked at comments and whatnot about it, and it was kind of split. My initial reaction was, this is stupid as hell. Mm-hmm. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, at least it's kind of it's different. It's something new, and it actually does give talent something to do. It actually is a way to kind of highlight them in a different way, and they are using people that have sort of a fight background. Like, they had Ziggler on there, who's a former collegiate wrestler. They obviously have Shayna Baszler in there, who has a pedigree of beating people up for real. And you have Lashley, who was
MMA.
Top team.
Yeah.
American top team. And then Benjamin, former
wrestler.
Collegiate wrestler. And wasn't he Olympian as well?
I believe so.
So, I mean, it's – you know you're going to see Riddle down there. And right now it is. It's interesting to see.
Are you? Because it's Raw Underground, so you might not.
That's true.
Yeah.
But they could get creative with it and maybe not have – they could bring back some – like, imagine if you saw – I don't know. Just pick anyone that – who's the big dude that they keep – I don't remember his name.
I don't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either. And whatever. That slipped my mind. But imagine if they bring in someone like Dan Severn. And it's just something like crazy like that, or Blackman. Steve fucking Blackman comes in with his fucking sticks and he gets his ass kicked. Like, it could be, I mean, it could be comical, it could be entertaining, to say the least, when they start matching people up that actually can fight against each other instead of them just beating up people in the crowd. Like, again, it's got to actually come to a point of where it makes sense to why they did it. Like, the underground has to actually, it's not just them beating up randoms. Like, get people with that pedigree and that background in there together, and they actually put on, like, an actual, some sort of, like, hybrid wrestling match, like an underground wrestling match.
Yeah, like, for, and like you said, actually do it. Like, how Josh Barnett, Bloodsport, does it. Like, you know what I mean? Actually let them go. Give them 6-7 minutes and let it, you actually use it as a segment.
We call timeout.
If they got that amount of time, I think that it would actually, then those squash matches or whatever the fuck you want to call them, would mean more, because you know eventually you're going to get matchups and they'll be more impactful if you're going to do it that way.
Not only that, but if they use like a catch wrestling slash MMA slash brawl type style, but they use it in the wrestling format where they make it kind of look real, but it's still,
yeah,
it's still professional wrestling. I think it will be something that will turn into actually entertaining type segments and whatnot. I mean, I think now it's obviously in its infancy, and it's a little weird, it's a little bizarre, but I think this one actually has potential to be something that's good for them. It's good because, I mean, especially for Raw, where you have that extra hour on TV, and it always ends up with Raw having so much filler time and segments of bullshit and interferences and things that just don't make sense. I think this is something that I think you can lock into, and it can actually make sense for 40 minutes of a show.
Yeah.
Actually be one of the more entertaining aspects of Raw. I do want to I want to touch on the fact that this is another thing that AEW couldn't leave well alone. Because I don't know if you saw that Alundra Blaze or Medusa, whatever you want to call her, tweeted out about the dancers, the Raw Underground dancers, and how they were using wrestlers for their sexuality and whatnot. And it kind of came back to bite her in the ass, because people pay attention, especially if you're calling out someone, and because she's with AEW, and people pay attention. I mean, people know what AEW has done too with their Fighter Fest or whatever pay-per-view that they ran, where they had the girls in the bikinis, the wrestlers in the bikinis up on the up on the chairs and all that. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, they've done the same thing. So you're going to criticize one and then remember that they've done the same thing. I mean, I find that comical, that you can't just leave well enough alone. You got to take your shots. But then again, there's people that are going to take shots back. It might not be anyone from WWE, but people do remember that, yeah, you're not perfect either. So maybe close your mouth. I don't think we talked about this with the whole the podcast with Excalibur, JR, and Taz when they just had to do it. They just had to bring up WWE. They had to talk about it. And again, it's that little brother mentality. Like, look at me, saying that they should be thinking about us. They should be mentioning us. We do exist. We're here. Come on. Pick me to play. It's that whole mentality. And that's how I see it. I see it as the little brother mentality, like always like having to, like, look at me, acknowledge me, pick me. Like, I feel like they're the last to get picked. They're like the one that no one wants. And that's how they come across to me.
Well, I think in that video that you're talking about, and even JR says it, they're cowards. They won't say our name. That would act like we exist. Jim, you've worked for that company how many fucking years, and you're calling everyone over there cowards? Like, come on, dude. Shut the hell up. You were that coward the entire time during the Monday Night Wars, not saying WCW. So I don't want to hear that bullshit of now all of a sudden you're holier than thou because you're with AEW.
I will say this. He is a flag waver for whatever company he is working for at the time. He's just he's the most expensive cheerleader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he is rah-rah. He's with them 100%. He'll say whatever the hell he needs to kiss ass for his team.
And look, it's your company. They pay you. They write your checks. I get it. But you can't be a hypocrite either. Like, you were doing the same shit.
He's 100% a hypocrite. He's 100%. Now that we're on the topic of commentary, and I know you'll appreciate this, and hopefully anybody else who watches this and knows this little secret, I know a lot of Philadelphia football fans do. When you're I want this option for wrestling, and I think I know you'll know where I'm going with this. When you watch Eagles games and you have the fucking Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, or you have you might have the C team fucking commentating, I hate listening to them because they're always seem to be homers against the other fucking team. Like Collinsworth, if the fucking Eagles are playing the Giants or the Eagles are playing anybody, he's a fucking homer for the other fucking team. I hate it. So we have that secret option to where we turn to the radio. We get to hear Merrill Reese call the game as we're watching it. And that's the trick of the trade. You don't want to listen to the fucking bozos that are going to bash your team no matter what. You listen to the homer. Like, I feel like I would love that option for all of wrestling, for all of TV wrestling, where, fuck, I'm so sick and tired of listening to fucking Michael Cole and his fucking overexcitement when fucking Sasha Banks or Roman Reigns comes out. They have that radio station of that third party who's calling the match for them, and you get to hear the radio announcer. It would be so much.
Look, I'm just saying, this could be our calling. We could be that option.
That's also a good point.
I think it could work. There are things that we could do, and if this. August 11th at 9:11 at night. I think this might be a way that we might be going. Is Brotherly Love Wrestling covers live wrestling regardless of what it is, and we are your commentators.
And you don't get the homer calls. You get you get natural. You get people that aren't being paid by the company to call the match. We're just throwing out fucking. I mean, yes, you have to know moves. You have to know angles. You have to know all of that. You have to know proper terminology. Actually, sometimes you don't need to know proper terminology.
Jim Ross just says the same shit he was saying in 97. I don't think you need any more terminology.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't get the fucking – because King, on the other side, I can't listen to the fucking Jerry the King. I can't. He's so fucking out of touch, it's ridiculous. Same mm-hmm. with fucking Jim Ross. They're both cut from the same fucking mold. I mean, Schiavone at least fucking – he got with the times.
Yeah, I like Tony Schiavone a lot.
Schiavone got with the times. Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, they're the same. They're just on different fucking shows. They haven't gotten with the time. And I have to fucking listen to fucking Jim Ross fucking try and hit on fucking all the women everywhere. Oh, she's gorgeous. Like, keep it in your pants, Jim, you fucking creep, because he's the same way on Twitter, too. Hitting on fucking women. Like, fucking keep it in your pants, dude, you fucking creep. Both of them. But that's the thing. I wish there was that third option or that second option where you can just tune in and be like, I want to listen to these fucking guys call it. They don't have a fucking horse in the race. And it could be fucking a blessing. Imagine that if you had a different option to listen, because commentary sometimes is just so fucking – it turns you off. Like, it turns me off. When I'm not locked in and I'm actually listening to what's going on, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, why? Why do you say things like that? Like, why do you have to bring up certain things?
Like, it's the agenda of WWE or AEW, mm-hmm. whatever they want to get across.
Well, here you go. You have people that fucking do the commentary that don't have an agenda. That don't have a horse in the race, quote unquote. They just fucking call it. They call it like you see it, and you get their own fucking wit and comedy and crazy shit because, I mean, you're able to say more. And you're
whatever you want.
Depending on what platform you're on, you could fucking say whatever. You could curse. I mean, it would be interesting, to say the least.
I think so. I think it's something to look into.
You run the risk of not hearing the crowd noise when crowds come back, but
That's the only downfall. But as of right now, we really don't have a crowd anyway.
Yeah, you really don't. I mean, that would be the only downfall I would say, is that you don't get that crowd noise unless you somehow filter in crowd noise.
You can do that.
You don't really get the people talking, or you're basically watching a silent TV and listening to commentary from somewhere else.
Now you say it like that, it depends. It really depends on someone's taste. And honestly, yeah, I really think that's more of an older style of thinking, because both of us think the same way. We have an older style of thinking and like a lot of older things and throwback things.
I learned that from, I think it was my grandfather who used to listen to either Merrill Reese or whoever, or Harry DeKay. Well, no, Harry DeKay was at the fucking, he was at the game, so he listened to Harry DeKay all through the TV, but fucking Eagles games that have national commentary, I mean, I'd rather listen to something else, but yeah. I feel like that would be a great option for, like, instead of just muting your TV altogether and only hearing your inner thoughts. Like, I feel like that's a great way to go.
Yeah.
I think it would be I would be interested, if it wasn't me doing the commentary, I'd be interested to hear someone else's commentary while I'm watching. Like, that would be fun.
I agree. Yeah, I think so too.
I don't really need crowd noise. Like, you know what's going on. And depending on who's commentating, if they're not a fucking robot and they're only using one tone of voice, like, you'd be able to know when, like, because fucking Merrill Reese goes nuts when anything happens.
Yes. Yeah.
But you have someone with fucking passion and someone that's going to talk and be like, and get up and the points you need to get up for, and actually talk how you're supposed to, like, what's going on, and be relevant. I think it would be great.
Dude, I like the idea a lot. I hope, first of all, I would like to do it, but if not us, I would love to see somebody do it, because I think it would be really cool to listen to. So let's move to an upcoming event, I mean, which always is one of the best events of the night, is NXT TakeOver is coming up, TakeOver 30, and
you figure they got to go balls out for 30.
Yeah, absolutely.
They went nuts for 20 and 10.
But, so. The one match that I don't know where they're going with, but it's the storyline itself is entertaining as hell, is the whole Adam Cole, Pat McAfee situation. Because from the start, a lot of people saw it as what it was, which was a work, when Adam Cole was on Pat McAfee's show and flipped out because he was called small and it broke the mic, broke the headset, pushed his producer, stormed out, said, fuck you, Pat. So then Triple H went on his show to apologize and say to come to NXT, and or we can do it on the cameras, we could do it in a meeting, blah, blah, blah. They book Pat, and then he punts Adam Cole in the head last week, setting up now a match at NXT TakeOver. I don't know how it's going to go, because I don't know. Are they going to wrestling match? Are they going to fight?
Do you get the feeling that this is probably the end of Cole's tenure in NXT?
Man, that's not a great swan song, is Pat McAfee being your last match in NXT.
Where do you go from here, though? Where do you go if you're Adam Cole, if you're Undisputed Era in general? Where do you go from here? You've literally done everything. That's the same thing with Ciampa and Gargano, although it's easier because they're singles competitors, and when they bring new people in and they build them up really quick, like Keith Lee or Cross, I mean, you can have them take on those guys. But once they lose to them, I mean, you're kind of back where you started. It's almost like there's no room for them right now on the main roster, but I feel like they're all kind of floundering. And this is kind of something to give Adam Cole to do. I mean, albeit it's something different at least.
Yeah, and I enjoy Pat McAfee. I like his mouth. I think he's really entertaining for his podcast and stuff. I like the angle. But I think once it gets to the payoff, I don't know if they're going to be able to deliver.
Yeah, what's next? Like, yeah. Is Pat McAfee now you're a new talent that you're going to have him wrestle weekly?
I don't think so. I think it's a one-off, yeah.
A one-off. So, I mean, where does Adam Cole go from here if he wins? What if, where does he go if he loses?
Yeah, well, he better go to the main roster if he loses at that point, because what do you do with him? How do you make him a threat if he loses to Pat McAfee? Yeah, I don't know.
I do like that they're bringing back the North American ladder match. North American title ladder match. That's, I mean, they have some large boots to fill from the first one, because that was match of the year. That show was like show of the year. But that,
if not one of the top 10 matches of NXT all time,
I put it up there as probably top three.
Yeah,
top three. I mean, just from spots and craziness that went along. I mean, they have. And I feel like they're stacking it with new talent, with talent that's not proven yet, which could be good.
And not only that, not just new talent, but all completely different. Because you got Bronson Reed, who surprised me, and I'm glad that they put him in there, because he's insane in the ring. He's so good, especially you talk about a guy his size, like a Vader, like he's like that, like he's insane. I mean, Damian Priest. I mean, you can't say enough about Damian Priest. Kushida is another one, and then Cameron Grimes. All of them so different. And you still got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4? You got three.
Dexter three more. Loomis is in it, too.
He was taken out because of his leg.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, because of his ankle injury.
Because he was probably odds-on favorite.
Yeah.
Because he was right there with the push.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't ready. He's not ready yet for that main title spotlight. He still needs a little bit more character development to get him to the point of where, okay, so now he's a viable threat to take on either Keith Lee or Karrion Kross. But I think with how Kross, his mentality, his character, I think Loomis would have fit in perfectly against him.
I hate to completely derail us, because this is usually your job, but Right now, I'm watching playoff hockey is in the background. As you can't tell, I'm not a hockey fan whatsoever. But
I'm not a fan of
anything. The Columbus Blue Jackets and Tampa Bay Lightning are 2-2 with 9 minutes left in the fifth overtime. The Columbus Blue Jackets goalie has 85 saves. It is the most saves in NHL playoff history.
Yes, you derailed us with something not even relevant to what we were talking
about. No, and that's what I'm saying. But this is insane. And as a hockey fan, bless you, I am geeking out over this because it's the coolest thing in the world. And so I'm trying to hold my excitement, even though it's not my boys, the Flyers. But I love hockey. So I felt like derailing us. But anyway, back to NXT TakeOver 30. I can't wait to see who the other three guys are that they put into this match because of who's already in the match.
All right, well, I'm going to derail us real quick.
What are you watching? Now that we're updating the listeners and viewers with what we're watching on TV as we record.
I'm watching Impact, and they're doing their flashback moment of the week, and okay. I completely forgot that Cody worked for TNA.
Really?
For Impact.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, right? I completely forgot that fucking Cody worked in Impact. Completely forgot. Well, it's just, at least mine was on topic.
Yeah, the game's over. Tampa Bay just scored. The next shot they took. The next shot they scored. Game over.
Well, you heard it here, probably not first. But you heard it here.
No, because by the time this goes out, it'll probably be like game three. But still.
It so was you heard cool it up. Here maybe 108.
Yeah.
The
other match that's really legitimate so far, and I mean, even though there's only three announced, Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai, this feud has been amazing. And
their women's division and how they're able to just plug and play with challenger and champion, and it all they're all really, really good. I mean, mm-hmm. their depth and utilization of their women's division is it's probably the best. I mean, they always seem to be able to just generate the most out of that division, no matter who you have. I mean, you remember, I mean, you had, what was it, Shayna Baszler versus Candice LeRae, and you think, you go into it, you're like, there's no way in hell, like, this is even going to be believable, and then, lo and behold, it's an incredible fucking match. I mean, they just get the most out of everyone that they've ever had in their women's division. They get the most out of them. And then their challengers, like you have the Tegan Knox, you have Dakota Kai, you have Rhea Ripley still. You still have the depth there of the next person who's going to come up is a viable threat. And yeah, they could legitimately always win the title.
Yeah, it's I know. It's insane how good it is.
It gets a lot of credit, but I still don't think it gets enough credit for being – I mean, aside from – I mean, I give a lot of credit to Impact's knockout division, because I think that they're a close second or one and one A with NXT, because they have top talent as well. And they – I mean, you look and you bring in a Deonna Purrazzo, who comes in, and truthfully, I didn't think she was going to get the title right away. I didn't think – I thought it was going to be like – maybe a two match or three match, and then she wins. But I mean, that's another one. You bring people in, and right away you can fit them into your system and make them great, make them look like they belong there the whole time. AEW hasn't figured that out yet.
Yeah, not for their women's division, no.
And they're trying new things. I mean, they're trying the lethal lottery approach of tag team wrestling for the women, which is nice. I mean, it's, but you're not spotlighting them where they need to be spotlighted, which is on TV.
Yes.
Everyone else spotlights their women on TV. AEW just hasn't been able to, I mean, they've been sidelined with some injuries, but you still have, now you have people, because you haven't built them correctly. You have Leva Bates and Penelope Ford. They weren't built to ever step up.
Yeah.
And they never looked like they had the viable threat. So you lose a couple people and you can't replace the people that you lost. Whereas everywhere else, if you were to lose one person, you'd be able to have someone step up right away.
Well, and I think that's the one thing, and I hate to say this, but with AEW, if I see the women's matches coming, I'm already tuning out. I don't care. That's when I'll switch over to NXT. It's one thing that they haven't hooked me. They haven't got me invested.
As much as they want to brag about having star power, they don't have the star power in that women's division.
No.
And it's unfortunate to say, but they haven't built any of their women to be the star.
Well, and I think it hurts them, and don't get me wrong, that – She's a very good talent. She's a good beast, monster, character-ish. Nyla Rose, but I don't think the experiment of her being champ has worked. I think there are other girls who are more believable as champ.
Here's the thing. I think that if they ran it a different way, it would have been. I think if she would have won and still had it, and just ran through it and built, like, she shouldn't have got beaten that quickly.
I agree. If she had the title, I don't think she should have been beaten for a while.
I think that you wait and you wait and you wait and you build these people up and you let that division develop. But now you had her lose, and now you have someone that, I mean, that great wrestler, and you just have no one else that can step up. You just have you have a division of one and two females, and you haven't built those. I mean, they're not young anymore, and they still haven't figured it out. Like, then they have the recipe, and you know what has worked. Like, if anything, you had an advantage.
Yeah.
You needed to sign the right people. You needed to build them right away. They just haven't done it. Eliminating them in the dark isn't helping. Because it's only on YouTube, and yeah, it doesn't get – I mean, everywhere else, you look at their top women. Like, they go hand-in-hand with the men in popularity, and you don't have that with AEW.
No.
Like, you look at a Kylie Rae, or you look at Taya Valkyrie or Jordan Grace, or you look at Io Shirai, or you look at Dakota Kai or Shotzi Blackheart, or you look at fucking Becky Lynch or Asuka, or I mean, those names, they're just not fair. Charlotte. Bailey. I mean, you look at the women that they have, their top stars, they were, if not equal, greater than the popularity of the men. So that's not even fair. But AEW has fallen back. They're in the caboose. They're the bringing up the rear in the women's division. They need to fix that. Like, they need to start fixing that now. Like, they need to feature them. Because that's the thing. For you to say that is exactly the reason. Like, that is the mentality, is that they haven't made you. If they would have invested in that, this was a Nyla Rose that was still champion, and they have developed this whole division around her and people trying to beat her, you might not be tuning out. You might be thinking, I wonder if she – right now you don't think anyone's going to win the title. Right now there's not – you're not looking at anyone on the roster and be like, well, the next title match is probably – they could switch the title, because they probably shouldn't at this point, because they don't have that person that's going to step up unless Nyla wins it again and Nyla carries it for a while. And that would have been, I think, your drawing point to where you're like, all right, I built this mega heel. They're unbeatable. Now I want to see when they get beat. So now you tune in and you're like, okay, maybe now's the time. Now's the time. And they build these storylines around her to where you actually think that she's got a chance to get beat. Now everyone's floundering.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think before we wrap the show up, there is one thing that we should – plug, because I think if people miss this event or can't attend or aren't invited, they need to watch this event on this Sunday coming up, August 16th. I don't know when this episode will be out, but it will definitely be before that. We have Violence and Suffering. This card is amazing, and if you go back about three episodes, we had the promoter Isaac Rodriguez on, and it was talking about this event and this young promoter who's starting off. And I mean, the card is insane. It is insane. Like,
it's going to be, I mean, the match qualities, it's going to be up there with a GCW. It's going to be up there with an ICW or a Black Label Pro or AIW. It's going to be up there with a caliber match, like, or Synergy. It's going to be up there. I mean, you look at the fucking card and it's got no chance to be anything but great. So it's a no-brainer if you're going to – and it's Sunday wrestling. It's fucking what Sundays were made for. If it's not for football, it's for wrestling.
Yeah.
So, I mean – and it's at a reasonable time. It's in the afternoon.
4 o'clock on Fight TV. Main event is Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Tony Deppen, which is ridiculous. That's a fill-in main event. I mean, that wasn't the original main event. Yes, and then you got
– Nick Gage gets hurt. He goes down, and his filler versus JTG. Is fucking Brian Cage.
Yes.
So, I mean, they bring in – he brought in – it was – he just – he got thrown a couple of curveballs, and I think he hit the fucking curveballs out of the park.
Yeah, A.R. Fox, Alex Zane, Jordan Oliver, Jimmy Lloyd, Eli Everfly. I mean, the list goes on and on of talent and indie wrestling talent and –
And then just big name people as well. I mean, it's crazy. Exactly.
Yeah. So
this is going to be really fun show.
Yes. Pay the money for Fight TV, 4 o'clock on Sunday in an undisclosed location, apparently close to us. It's going to be must-see for sure. So, and we cannot wait to watch this event on Sunday, and we hope everybody kill it.
And I'm going to plug one more. Not this weekend, but the following weekend, 8/22, there is a shitload of wrestling going on. Yes. The 22nd of August. You have TakeOver. You have AEW Dynamite. You have Black Label Pro running. And then you have our sponsored event, or not our sponsored, an event we're sponsoring, Black Wrestlers Matter. You go to blackwrestlersmatter.com and you purchase the event. Everything else you can watch later. Everything else that you can watch, you could tape AEW Dynamite while you're on the network, you can fucking go back and watch NXT TakeOver. If you have IWTV, you can go back and watch Black Label Pro. All going to be great shows, but you make sure you tune into the Black Wrestlers Matter, because this is going to be a different show where it's going to highlight African-American talent, people that you might not have seen before. And this is what wrestling is about. Wrestling is about creating new stars, people that there's not going to be the same stars forever. And this show is going to do that. Mm-hmm. This show is going to do that. And this show is going to be people that you might not have seen before. And you're going to be like, well, why haven't I seen them before? And I guarantee that 100%.
Yes.
A couple guests have been on our show, and you might be familiar with some of the people that are when you watch, but it's going to be that type of event. Like this could steal the weekend.
Yes, I agree. I think that, like you said, the talent is stacked. You've heard from at least four people from our show alone. And I'm personally, because we've had them, because we've had them on, I think the triple threat match between these women that we had on the show, I can't wait. Like, I think that because I think we spent so much time with them, talking with them, and getting to know them, that I cannot wait to see them wrestle, the first time for all of us.
I'm very excited, and I can't wait to see our boy Frontman.
Yes.
Do what he does.
Yes. Yeah, I can't wait.
One of my personal favorite interviews is when we first got to talk with him, because he sold me right away, and that's what I miss in wrestling, is someone that you could talk to and they can sell you right away. Mm-hmm. Because of how they speak. Frontman has that.
Yeah.
Now absolutely. You need to watch him, and he'll show you why he belongs. He belongs with the big dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. And we have things coming up, hopefully to get more people on Unite. Other than that,
Who knows? Maybe we're going to be commentating wrestling.
Yeah. Look, you never know. We might actually end up doing that. So that'd be pretty cool. So we hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Later.